You know, whenever there's a new product on the market, the advertisers are always very careful to highlight what is unique about that product. If it's a new, totally new product, they want to highlight all the special features on it. If it's a, something that's been redesigned or reconfigured, they're careful to go over all of the features that make that stand out over it. Whether it's a car, they want to highlight the performance of it, or they want to highlight the luxury, or even now with gas being $3.55 a gallon, they're probably going to highlight the economy of it. But you've noticed that whenever somebody puts something out on the market, that they really go to great lengths to accentuate those things that they feel that will attract you, those things that they feel are most important to you as the consumer. Well, did you know that similarly, for someone who has received Christ, for someone who is identified with Jesus, there are some unique features, there are some unique qualities, there are some distinguishing marks that should accentuate that life. For someone who says, you know what, I want to give my life to Jesus, and their life has been changed and transformed, there should be some things that stand out about that person above everyone else around them. There should be some things different in their life. And one of the things we've been talking about the last few weeks, I've been doing a series called I Man with the optional model available, I Woman. One of the things we've been looking at is, what are those distinguishing marks of a new life in Christ? I want to read a simple verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to look a few more verses in 2 Corinthians that go along with this as Paul's talking. But I want to read this one verse to begin with. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Everybody say that word, new. New. Think about that for a moment. Whenever there's something new out, people tend to right now they just got the new iPod Touches out a few months ago. You look at those things, you look at all the electronic features, and they just increase the memory size, and they increase all the apps that are available for it. Whether it's something like, as I said, a car. I'm telling you what, some of the new cars out on the market right now just make you want to go buy a new car, but nobody wants that new car note. Because I'm a car guy, Cadillac's new CTS coupe, the CTS V coupe. I'm thinking a two-door coupe with 558 horsepower and a six-speed transmission just sounds like I ought to be driving it. But you look at new things, those features stand out. Those marks stand out. And then when you think about someone, when they get a new life in Christ, what are the things that should be unique and stand out about their life? What are the identifiable marks? 3 weeks ago, we talked about one of the most foundational things that should be different about their life is they should be a person of integrity. That character is key. It is foundational to every aspect of our life. For the person to say, "I've had new life in Christ," and to still have no integrity, no character, there's something wrong there. There's a problem there. There's something that doesn't line up. The most basic, simple-minded person can figure that one out, that if you identify yourself with the Son of the Living God, the Lord Jesus Himself, then certainly you should be a person of integrity. You should be a person of character. And then 2 weeks ago, I talked to the men about the fact that as men, a new life in Christ means that our life should be marked by initiative. We should be men of initiative. We should take the lead. We should set out a course. You know, men, we want to be conquerors. We want to succeed. We want to be achievers. We want to do all these things. And certainly in the context of a relationship with Christ, we ought to take the lead. It's a shame that most of our churches, and you can say amen on this, ladies, it's a shame that most of our churches are being led and filled every single Sunday morning predominantly by women. And there's nothing wrong with that, ladies, except for the fact that where are the men? Where are the men that should stand up for the Lord Jesus and say, "I will identify with Christ. I have new life in Christ. I will take the lead." Last week, we talked to the ladies. I talked to you about the fact that you should be a woman of inspiration, that you have a capacity that God has given you. that God created woman with to inspire those around them. There's something unique about a woman that she has the capacity to inspire. And we saw how sin overshadowed that from God's original creation. But how in new life in Christ, that God has restored that capacity. And it's not as much as ladies focus on the external appearance. It's really that Christ living in you, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in your life, coming out. We talked about that last week, and it was incredible last week, talking about how you can be a woman of inspiration. Well, as a follower of Christ, let me tell you something today. Our lives are to be marked by investment. Our lives are to be marked by investment. You say, what are you talking about? When you think about the things that you earn, when you think about the things that you own, your possessions, those capacities within you to earn a living and earn an income, and all that that represents, what are you investing your life in? For the Christian, our life should be marked about being a person of investment. Let me read you a simple verse here in 2 Corinthians. If you'll remember, I talked about the fact that Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians. He planted that church. He went to the city of Corinth. It was a big metropolitan city. Lots of cultural influences in Corinth. He went to that city. He led some. He went into the markets. He went into the synagogues. He led some people to Jesus and shared Christ with them and how Jesus was the Messiah. They received him. He began to train them and disciple them how to lead others to Christ and teach them about what God had in store for their lives. And suddenly a church grew out of that. As that church continued to grow and continued to expand, there were people that came into Corinth and came into that church that started questioning Paul. Paul had already moved on. You know, Paul's pattern was he would go from city to city to city, planting, leading people to Christ, planting churches. Well, as he moved on, he got word sometime later that there were some people there that were saying, you know, that guy Paul that originally came in, I mean, you know, he's a fake. He's a fraud. He's a charlatan. He's just trying to profit off the gospel. He's just a preacher trying to get a paycheck. That's all he is. And there were people that just insulted him. And he had to write these two letters to Corinth to talk about, to literally defend himself to the people that he had led to Christ. When you read the first letter of Corinthians, he's defending his ministry, and he's talking about how his ministry was not shadowed, there was nothing shady about it, there was nothing deceptive about it, he was straightforward, he lived with them, he worked with them, he earned his own living while he was there, and trying to disciple them and equip them. Well, then he wrote the second, and plus there was some blatant sin going on in the church at Corinth, and he addressed that in the first letter. There was a lot of division and a lot of disharmony in the church, and he addressed that. Well, he wrote his second letter to talk about how he had heard that some of these things had been taken care of, and how some of these things were being addressed, and how they had made some changes. And he was actually in 2 Corinthians talking about how proud he was of some of the things they'd done, how much he praised God for what they had been doing. And in 2 Corinthians, he really begins to pour his heart out to them. And part of that, Paul talks about what it means to be a new person in Christ. And that verse that I read, 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And what Paul is talking about here, he's talking about, look, this is what it means to be different. This is what it means to know Christ. This is what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he talks about this. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. He says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul knew that when he originally went to Corinth and he led others to Christ and planted that church, that he was not doing it for himself. He was not doing it on his own for his own personal gain, which others had accused him of. He saw it as an investment into the lives of those people. He said, look, we were your servants. He says, we didn't come and preach ourselves. We didn't try to prop ourselves up. He said, we preached Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior. He says, and ourselves as your servants for his sake. He said, look, we put ourselves out to serve you. We didn't do this for us. We did it for you. We were concerned about you. We took a personal interest in your life. We made this investment in you. And I want to talk about that for a moment. I want to talk about investing your life wisely. If one of the identifying marks, and if you would read 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5, many times throughout those verses in those three chapters, Paul talks about how he had invested himself and how they had invested in others, how they had poured their lives out. And you read some of Paul's other letters, as Kelly mentioned, she's reading Paul's letters. As you read Paul's letters, he mentions many times how he laid his heart out there. He said, my heart's wide open to you. He said, your heart should be wide open to me. He said, you know, I've laid my life on the line for you physically. I mean, Paul was beaten. He was thrown in jail. He was, the guy was tortured. He was stoned and left for dead on one occasion. I mean, this guy had suffered abuse after abuse after abuse, but yet still, he continued to invest in the lives of others. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about investing your life wisely. How our life in Christ should be identified by being a person of investment. First thing that I want you to see this morning is a tip for investing your life wisely is give yourself away. Give yourself away. You say, what do you mean by that? Listen to what Paul said there in chapter 4 again in verse 11. He says, we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. You say, what is he talking about there? He says how as a Christian in Christ, he said, literally, we are giving our lives over to death. Because he had faced death many times. He had faced, as I said, the abuse of others, the torture, the imprisonment. There were people that wanted to put him to death. He was running for his life most of the time. How would you like, think about this guy's resume as a pastor. He's caused riots in every city he went into. He's had people trying to kill him. He has been imprisoned many times. Can you imagine that being on the resume for a pastor of a local church? I mean, the likelihood of that guy being hired. I've been imprisoned. I've caused riots everywhere I've preached. I've been run out of town on most occasions. And there are people chasing me even now that are wanting to kill me. I think about that. That seems ludicrous, but that's the exact portrait and character of Paul. And he says, you know what? He said, I don't count my life dear. He says, we are literally being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life might be revealed in our mortal body. That's the great paradox of the Christian faith. It is. It's the great paradox of the Christian faith that we have to give our life away in order to find it. You see, the problem is most people spend all of their life trying to find their life. You've heard this statement, man, I'm just trying to find myself. And a lot of people spend their entire life trying to find themselves, trying to find their life because they're afraid of wasting it. And you know what happens at the end of it all? They wind up wasting their life trying to find it when all they had to do was give it away. When all they had to do was give their life away. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 10:39. He said, whoever finds his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's a paradox. It doesn't make sense. I mean, you think about it. I have to give something away in order to find it? That just seems backwards. Instead of me spending all my time trying to find it. And let me tell you something. I did that. I mean, I gave myself away to alcohol. I gave myself away to sex. I gave myself away to thrill seeking. I gave myself away to material possessions, trying to accumulate. I kept giving myself away to these things, trying to find a life, trying to find some peace, trying to find some hope, trying to find my life and who I was. And the whole time, you know what I was doing? I was missing the fact that I just needed to give my life away. You see, it wasn't all these things that I was trying to find that were going to give me life. It was not all these things that I was going to be able to accumulate that were going to give me life. It was not all these pursuits and adventures that were going to give me joy and satisfaction. It was when I gave my life away to Jesus that I found new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'll say it again. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old, gone. New has come. The paradox is you have to give yourself away. Listen to this guy. Robert Murray M'Cheyne was a Scottish pastor, died at the age of 29. Listen to what he said. He said, I am concerned for the poor, but more for you. I know not what Christ will say to you in the great day. I fear there are many hearing me who may know well that they are not Christians because they do not love to give largely and liberally, not grudgingly at all, requires a new heart. An old heart would rather part with its lifeblood than its money. Oh, my friends, enjoy your money. Make the most of it. Give none away. Enjoy it quickly, for I can tell you, you will be beggars throughout eternity. It's a paradox. Paul says, look, we're being given over to death every day for Christ's sake. I'm dying every day. Wasn't that what Jesus said? Die to ourselves. Wasn't that what we're told? He said, take up your cross, follow me. I mean, we're told over and over, and you say, that doesn't make sense. But that's exactly why most people can't find the life they're looking for. Because we have this mentality, and a lot of it is our culture, the country that we live in, greatest country on the planet. But our culture teaches get, accumulate, amass, bring together, build. I mean, get everything you can get in this life. It's the land of opportunity. It's the great American dream. It's why everybody is flooding our borders to get in this country. It's why we have 20-something million illegal immigrants in this country. It's because this is a land where there is an opportunity. There is freedom of choices. There is freedom to vote. There is freedom of speech and freedom of religion. We give people that opportunity, but what we put behind it is we tell people to accumulate. You know, you have the opportunity. Build for yourself. Do for yourself. And the whole time they're trying to do that, they're losing themselves. When the paradox is, Christ says, no, give your life away to me for my sake, and then you will find it. I'm telling you, you want to be a person who invests your life wisely? Give yourself away. I mean, give yourself away. Number two, focus on the eternal. You see, we focus on those things that we can see. Listen to what Paul said about those things. Here still in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. He said, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's eternal. You see, life is not about our possessions. It's not about our achievements. It's not about our financial portfolio. Those all diminish with time eventually. Eventually they will be gone. But when you invest in the eternal, when you focus on the eternal things and you make those the priority and train your life on those things which are not temporary, but they are eternal. Those are the things that keep gaining long after you and I are gone. A few weeks ago, I made a phone call to a guy by the name of David Phillips, who lives in Whiteville, Tennessee. Most people will never hear of this man. Most of you in here, there's only one or two people in this entire room that know him, and most people around here will never hear of him. I called him. This is the first time I've spoke to him in almost 20 years. But I called him, and I was talking to him, and I reminded him of that Saturday night when my wife and I's car broke down, and we coasted off the road. Car died in the parking lot of a little church on a Saturday night. And he and about two or three others were cleaning up that church on a Saturday night. And he gave me a ride home and invited me to church, asked me my name, got to know me, invited me to church. I went a week later on a Sunday morning and on a Sunday night. We went back on Wednesday night, and on that Wednesday night, I gave my life to Christ. I reminded David Phillips of that night, and he remembered it. And I told him, I said, David, I said, the world may never know who you are. I said, but in the years since you invited me to church, I've had the opportunity to preach to thousands. I've seen hundreds saved. I said, the world may never know David Phillips' name, but I'm telling you, brother, heaven knows your name. All he did was give me a ride home. All he did was invited me to church. He was focused on the eternal. He could have simply given me a ride home and just been a kindly neighbor. He could have simply said, hey, I tell you what, I'll help you get your car home. But he took the time to realize this was an opportunity to focus on eternity, to focus on the things that would last. And I stand here before you today because someone took the time to focus on the eternal. When you and I, when we focus on eternal things, then guess what happens? Our life is gained through that. We find joy. We find peace. We find fulfillment. We find purpose and meaning in our life. When you begin to make an impact on the people around you, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a worship leader. I'm not a youth pastor. I'm not a minister, per quote. Let me tell you something. You are a minister in Christ. One of the things we teach, not just in this church, but denominationally, we teach what we call the priesthood of the believer. I'm going to tell you, you read the New Testament, the Bible tells us we are kings and priests unto our God. You are a priest if you are in Christ. If the Holy Spirit lives within you, if Christ lives in your life, you've accepted Him, you are a minister. You may not have reverend or doctor before your name, but let me tell you something, you are as much a minister as I am. You know, some of the most important people here on Sunday morning, it is not me. It's not these worship leaders. Some of the most important people here on Sunday morning are standing right outside that front door when people pull onto this parking lot. It makes the biggest impact. You won't remember. Some of you might be visiting for the first time this morning. A week from now, 2 weeks from now, you may not remember one thing I said this morning. You may not remember a single song that you sang, but you'll remember how you were treated when you walked through that front door, whether somebody was exceptionally friendly and was genuinely welcoming to you, or whether they rude, didn't speak to you, you walked right past, nobody noticed you, nobody spoke to you, you stood around. You will remember that. I'm telling you, that's called ministry. That's hands-on front line. The people that live around you in your neighborhood, the people that are in your own family, your own children. You see, Corbin and I went fishing yesterday. And we don't get an opportunity to do it much, but we enjoy it. We went out and went fishing for a little while yesterday. We did the old school way. We went to Walmart, got some crickets, some worms, figured, have a couple of different types of bait. We grabbed some ham, some cheese, and some crackers. And, that's fishing food. I mean, that's what you eat when you go fishing. Or bologna. My dad always went to, the little country store and got big chunks of rag bologna and cut them off. And that's what we, ate on the way to go fishing. But we went fishing yesterday. And we, played around, caught a few brim and stuff like that. But it was about the time we spent together. My son may never be a professional fisherman. He may never be a great fisherman. He may never even be a good fisherman. But I'm telling you what, I'm more concerned that he has his life focused on eternal things. I'm more concerned that 6-year-old over there, as he grows up, realizes that what is the seen is temporary. What he sees around him is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal and lives on and on and on. I would rather my son be a fantastic soul winner than the greatest football player this world has ever known. Although my dream, I'd love to see him play football. And at 6 years old, 4'6" and 109 pounds, I'd say he's probably got a good material to work with. And he is stout. He came up behind me in the kitchen yesterday going to, block me. And I didn't realize it. Man, he about took me off my feet. Because, he came up behind me and I didn't realize it. Man, he moved me. But I am more concerned that my children understand eternity is what matters. It's the eternal things that are important. Listen to what this, one last quote, and I'm going to close with this. Listen to this quote. I understand the world is not all about me. I want to lead people to Christ, do the best I can, and make life worthwhile. Life is about other things. It's helping people out and being a servant to everybody else. You know who said those words? 20-year-old Xavier Henry, guard for the Memphis Grizzlies. That is being eternally minded. Let me tell you something. Give your life away. Focus on the eternal. And your life will be marked by making investments that the stock market can never take away. That investments that famine, earthquake, tsunamis, tornadoes, hurricanes can never destroy. That rust will not decay away. That time will never be able to erode if you give yourself away and you focus on eternal things. You say, Bodie, how can I do that? I'm going to give you a great way right now this morning. We're all about the practical. We're all about the hands-on here. I'm going to give you a great way this morning. When you came in, hopefully, you received one of these red sheets. I want you to take that out. If you didn't receive one, our guest services partners over here will get one for you. But I want you to look at that. We're doing, next Saturday, we're beginning an initiative, a project called Love Now here in Atoka and Munford area in this community. We are going to love on this community right where they are. We're going to do several projects throughout the week. As you scan down that list is not comprehensive. There are some other things that are going to be on there. But there are some things on there that you can make an eternal investment. Here's what we've been saying. Most churches, we'll give every church the benefit of the doubt. They want to love on people. But what happens many times is they don't get the opportunity to love on people until those people walk through the doors. And they're great at it. But what we're going to do that sets us apart, not just for our name, but because we're eternally minded, is we're going to go to where people are right now and we're going to love them now. Over the beginning next Saturday morning, if you look down that list, I mean, there are several things that are on there throughout that week, several different times of the day. You say, well, I work during the day. There are several things going on in the evenings, on the weekends. From Saturday to Saturday, we are going to be out in this community serving, making an impact. Everything from cutting grass for shut-ins for elderly people to cleaning up, landscaping for City Park. We're going to take donuts to all the schools around here, the faculty and stuff, on one Monday morning. We're going to hit the police stations, the fire stations. We're going to be all over this community loving on people. Next Saturday night, we're doing a movie night. You see this little postcard? Now, I meant to put it up on the screen. I forgot to put it in there. This postcard advertises for the movie night for next Saturday night. 2,100 of these will go in the mailbox Tuesday morning to almost every mailbox in Atoka. We want to invite the community out for a movie night on us. We're not going to accept donations. We don't want donations. If local businesses want to help, if individuals want to partner with us, great, fantastic. We want to do that. But we're not going to let one person walk on there on that Saturday night and try to give us anything. We want to do it for them. We want to love on them now. What I would like for you to do, you want to make an eternal difference? We're talking about making an investment. What I want you to do is I want you to take a few minutes. In just a moment, our worship team is going to come. And they're going to play and they're going to sing and lead us in a closing worship. But what I want you to do is I want you to look at this list. Maybe say, hey, I know what day I can do some stuff. And you just take a pen, a pencil, something. You circle that day. Put your name and your phone number down at the bottom. Or maybe there's some of these times don't line up. Well, at the bottom of that, it says available days or times. You just write down what day of the week during that week you would be available and what time of the day. Maybe you work second shift and you say, I can do something in the morning time. Maybe you work third shift and say, hey, I would love to do something in the middle of the day. You just write down the day and the times that you're available. I'm telling you, make an eternal impact. What I want you to do is I want you to fill that out, put your name and phone number on it, circle one, two of those. I mean, if you are available and you want to help with several of these, circle all the ones that you want to be involved in. You know what's great is this is not exclusive of age. It doesn't require any special skills. It doesn't require anything but just the willingness to give yourself away and realize we're focusing on eternal things. And what I want you to do after we leave, after we dismiss this morning, you take that and there'll be somebody standing outside that door with guest services. You hand them that and they're going to hand you this. They're going to give you a T-shirt. It looks just like this that says Love Now. And what we want people to do, we have these shirts for everybody that's going to serve. Whenever you show up to serve in that Saturday to Saturday time period, you wear that shirt and you let them know we're here to love on you. We absolutely are here to love you right now. And we want to show it by our actions. So you give that to them as you go out the door and they're going to hand you a T-shirt. You tell them what size you want. There are shirts out there for you. And then you wear that. You show up. You help us serve. I'm telling you, help us to make an eternal difference in this kingdom. I mean, you think about it. It is 14 days to Easter, one of the most celebrative times of the year for the Christian church. And remember this. It's also it's the time of the year when most people will visit church when they won't normally go any other time. I mean, think kingdom-minded, think eternal things. Give yourself away. Be willing to invite somebody to church. It can make all the difference. The man that led me to Jesus, well, I told you, the man gave me a ride home. But the man that was preaching that morning, that night, on Wednesday night, that shared the gospel with me, got saved on an Easter Sunday because he went to church. He was a grown man, but it was the only time of the year he went to church was Easter. And he showed up on an Easter morning at Shady Grove Baptist Church out in Fayette County and gave his life to Christ on Easter Sunday. He is now not only a pastor, but he is a church planter of a great church in Oakland. I'm telling you what, it could be all the difference. Think think and focus on eternal things and be willing to give yourself away. It can make all the difference. You can find that life you've been hunting and trying to find. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. I'm going to ask our worship team if they would just come. As they make their way down here, I want to ask you to just bow your heads for just a moment. For some of you here this morning, it's not about your money. It's not about who you are, your social status. It's not about your reputation. For some of you, the thing you need to give away this morning is you need to give your heart to Jesus. You see, all these other, most people think they need to straighten their life up and then start coming to church, and they got it just backwards. And a lot of times it's because we kind of give them that wrong impression. We want them to fix up and look nice and come to church and straighten their life up. But the reality is they need to give their life to Christ. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe the thing that you have been holding on to is your heart and your life. And this morning you need to give your life to Christ. All those other things are unimportant. The real heart of the matter is the problem of the human heart. The whole reason that Easter exists, the whole reason Jesus had to die on a cross and was resurrected, was to save us from sin, from hell, from eternal separation from God. Did everything necessary to provide you and I salvation. The only thing that is required of us is to put our faith in Him. And maybe this morning you need to give your life to Him. It's not about all those other things. I'm going to ask you right where you sit. I want to give you that opportunity to say, Bodie, that's me. I need to give my life. I need to give my life to Christ. I've never done that. I've tried every way I know how to find some kind of life, some kind of peace, some kind of fulfillment, some kind of hope. And it's time that I give my life to Him. And I want to invite you right now just to begin to pray in your heart. Just pray a very simple prayer. Just begin to pray to God. Just say, oh God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that Jesus died on a cross to save me. God, I ask you to come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and give me that new life that your word talks about. Oh God, the best way I know how, I give my life to you. Everything, you can have it, Lord. Save me, change me, make me new, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me this morning. If you prayed that prayer just now and you meant it from your heart, you meant it before God, I've got the greatest news in all the world for you. Everything you ever thought, ever said, ever done, gone, wiped away, brand new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time, or for the first time in your life you prayed it and actually meant it, then Jesus just took up residence in your life. And I want to celebrate with you. I want you to do me a favor. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out, embarrass you. But I want you to do me a favor. I want to celebrate with you, and I want to pray for you. You say, Bodie, I prayed that prayer when you prayed it, and I meant it. I want you to slip your hand up right now. Anybody, just slip your hand up right now and say, Bodie, I prayed that prayer. Amen. God bless you, brother. I see your hand. Anyone else, you say, Bodie, I asked Jesus Christ in my life. Just slip your hand up right now. I prayed that prayer after you. Say, Bodie, I didn't pray that prayer, but I know I need to. Would you pray for me? I want you to raise your hand. Say, Bodie, I didn't pray it when you prayed it, but I know that I need to. Just slip your hand up right now. Anyone? Just raise your hand.